From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. You'd be hard-pressed to find a law in the United States more impactful and more popular than the Endangered Species Act. Yes, of course, there are special interest groups who represent extraction industries like mining and timber that have wanted to get rid of the law for decades so they can harvest ore or trees in a less regulated fashion. But overall, the public on both sides of the aisle routinely praises the act. But for the first time in its 50 years of existence, the act is in real jeopardy of being plowed under. Today on the show, you'll hear from two local representatives of a national organization, Defenders of Wildlife, and hear how the Trump administration has the act in its sights, and hear how they and the general public can fight back. Our conversation is next on Oregon on the Record. A study published a few years ago showed that the Endangered Species Act has saved roughly 99% of protected wildlife since its creation in 1973, demonstrating the law has been overwhelmingly successful. For all the consternation about the lack of real progress from government, it's obvious that the act has done a lot of what it set out to do some 50 years ago. But could the Endangered Species Act be endangered itself? Today on the show, you'll hear about real threats to this law, and you'll hear from an environmental organization that is working to ensure that the act and the species it protects nationally and here in Oregon survive the Trump administration. Colin Reynolds and Joseph Vail, they're both members of the Northwest Program of Defenders of Wildlife. Gentlemen, thanks so much for coming on and talking with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Colin, I'm just going to start with you. Why don't you just talk about what Defenders of Wildlife is and what you do?
Absolutely. And first, thank you so much, Michael, for having us on today. Defenders of Wildlife is a national conservation organization dedicated to the protection of all native animals and plants in their natural communities. We have staff all over the country, out in the field and also in Washington, D.C. Joseph and I are members of the Northwest team, and we work primarily in Oregon and Washington, doing a variety of things, but with that sole focus on protecting native animals and plants within the states.
Okay. And then Joseph, you know, kind of remind folks about the Endangered Species Act. Remind folks what that, you know, landmark law did, because we're going to get into that the fact that it could be very much under threat. But go ahead and start from the beginning about what it does.
Yeah, well, first, I think it's important to establish, you know, what is biodiversity and why is it important?
Okay.
And perhaps that tells us, you know, why we even need to protect endangered species and prevent extinction. And, you know, I think first and foremost, biodiversity is this backbone of a healthy functioning planet. It, you know, it directly supports human survival. It, you know, think about in Oregon and beyond, species, they play an essential role in keeping ecosystems resilient, you know, for, and also communities thriving. Like, for example, we know there's a variety of pollinators, like bees and birds pollinate our crops. And without that ecosystem service, you know, we would be in trouble. Other species can help purify our water. And there's still others that have offered even medical breakthroughs for us. So wildlife and plants, they provide us with tangible benefits, and there are the backbone of our economy. You know, people also here in Oregon, we benefit from people coming from all over the world to see wildlife. People go whale watching off the coast of Oregon. They fish in our rivers. They go to the Malheur Wildlife Refuge to see birds. Those people spend money in our restaurants, our lodges, and you know, this is important to Oregon's economy. But, you know, take a species like the Oregon spotted frog, which is a species that is protected under the Endangered Species Act. It's a very sensitive amphibian that is closely tied to the health of slow moving wetland habitats. And so when those frogs decline, they're often like the canary in the coal mine. They're a red flag for a deeper ecological problem that we have. If we have polluted water or drained wetlands, or if there's too much cattle grazing in those and the banks of those wetlands, the spotted frog tells us that by the fact that it's numbers are going down. So it's not just about protecting the species, it's about restoring entire systems like the wetland systems that support a variety of other species. So I think that's important to just realize that these species are so important to us, but also that they're more than that. They're living beings with millions of years of evolutionary history. They have ecological roles, and they just have an inherent right to exist. And I think that's what the Endangered Species Act really was initially recognizing, that we have a moral responsibility to protect species and to prevent extinction. And the Endangered Species Act, or what a lot of people just call the ESA, which you might hear us use that acronym here, really embodies that ethic. And affirms that we have this duty to species that we share this earth with. And in Oregon, where we have ancient forests and we have coastal areas, we have high desert plateaus, we have such a rich array of life, the ESA really helps safeguard those ecological systems. And ultimately, stopping extinction is the morally right thing to do. So I think that's really where the ESA came from. And I know Colin can maybe speak a little bit to like some of the legislative history, Michael, about how what was going on at the time of the Endangered Species Act and how we got that law, which was widely bipartisan at the time, passed through Congress.
Yeah, Colin, go ahead. Talk about sort of the evolution of the ESA.
Will do. So the ESA was passed in 1973, recently had its 50th anniversary, and it may seem different from today, and just realizing that the ESA was unanimously approved out of the Senate and passed the House on a vote of 390 to 12.
Wow.
And at signing, President Nixon said, "Nothing is more priceless and more worthy of preservation than the rich array of animal life with which our country has been blessed. It is a many-faceted treasure of value to scholars, scientists, and nature lovers alike, and it forms a vital part of the heritage we all share as Americans." So the ESA, the Endangered Species Act, it aims to protect and recover endangered and threatened species. That's a term of art within the ESA, endangered and threatened, and minimizing the effect of federal and private actions on these species and their habitats. And simply put, Michael, the ESA is America's single greatest tool to prevent species extinction. I mentioned that the ESA recently had its 50th anniversary, and one of the benefits of having that amount of time is that we can now look to see, hey, how's this work? And it absolutely has. It has a 90, the act has a 99% success rate in preventing species extinction, and it's helped in the conservation of so many iconic species. For example, it saved the bald eagle. That was a species that was imperiled and is now recovered across the country, and many of us see bald eagles in our daily lives. It's helping save the California condor. The population was as low, Michael, as 22 in 1982, and today there's over 500
Wow.
birds. So it's something that this is a generational project, the ESA. Since its passage, tens of thousands of people, if not more, our neighbors, our parents, our brothers, our sisters, have participated in this basically whole of government, whole society effort to protect our most vulnerable species, and it's worked.
Yeah. Let me reintroduce you both to the audience really quickly here. We're talking with Colin Reynolds and Joseph Vail. They're both part of the Northwest program of the National Organization Defenders of Wildlife. Joseph, I'll go to you because it's interesting, as Colin mentioned, 50-year anniversary of the Endangered Species Act passed under a very conservative president, President Nixon. What's happening now with regard to threats to the ESA?
Yeah, there are a variety of threats to the ESA. I mean, I think first, it's probably most important to just take a minute to realize where we are right now, especially with many of our friends at work in the federal government that have lost positions and we're seeing a lot of people in the agencies that are responsible for protecting and restoring, recovering endangered species. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service or the National Marine Fisheries Service have either lost their jobs or been pushed out or have otherwise lost funding. So there's really a big threat to the protection of endangered species right now is how our federal government is being operated. I would just say there are several others. There's one that's a rule that recently came out from the Trump administration that proposed a change to the Endangered Species Act definition of the word harm, which might seem like a minor thing, just defining the word harm. But under this proposal, it would actually change how that word is defined in terms of not constituting habitat destruction. So only direct injury or death of animals would be prohibited under the ESA under this new definition of harm. So for decades, federal agencies have interpreted harm broadly to include modified habitat. And this gets at when endangered species are allowed to be taken or are issued take permits under the Endangered Species Act. But obviously we know today that habitat destruction is the leading cause of species decline. So this approach of protecting habitat has safeguarded, old growth forests, wetlands, streams, and other unique habitat for threatened endangered species. And this was actually upheld in the Supreme Court in a case in the 1990s. It included that significant habitat modification that results in injury or death to wildlife constitutes harm. And the current proposal aligns with some dissenting views that no, the only thing that will take a species is when you're directly killing animals. And so defenders of wildlife who strongly oppose this absurd idea that habitat destruction does not harm species and constitute take. So for example, imagine being if you were like forced out of your home, Michael, and you saw it destroyed, it was bulldozed over, and then perhaps you were cut off from the food you needed to survive, you would probably feel harmed, I think, wouldn't you?
Certainly sounds like it, yes.
Yeah, right. Well, that's, it's interesting because if you look back, Justice O'Connor at that time in the 90s, who was a Reagan appointee,
Sandra Day
On the
O'Connor.
Supreme Court, Sandra Day O'Connor made it clear that when habitat is modified or altered in a way that, as she put, breeding, feeding, or sheltering, that disruption leads to injury or death. So, this new rule that would redefine harm is what is one of the big threats to the Endangered Species Act right now. And of course, we're not even quite 100 days into this new administration, so. We'll see what more happens here in the coming days. But this opening salvo is not a good one.
Colin, there's a bill that's out right now that you have concerns about. Talk about that, would you please?
Yeah, absolutely. So this bill is titled it's the ESA, Endangered Species Act, Amendments Act of 2025. This bill is sponsored by a gentleman named Bruce Westerman, who's a representative from Arkansas, and he's the chair of the House Natural Resources Committee. So this bill, simply put, would just basically eviscerate the existing Endangered Species Act as we know it. It does a lot of things, Michael. There's a provision that would eliminate the requirement for the federal government to ensure that it does not take action to destroy the critical habitat of an imperiled species that is charged to protect. It would also slow down the process we call listing, which is the classification of a species as either threatened or endangered. It at the same time, it would also fast track the process for delisting or removing protections for endangered species. There's a lot of things, Michael. This is just a part of a this bill is just part and parcel of a larger set series of attacks, I think, on our nation's wildlife. Joseph mentioned that rule. We have this bill. This bill is just one of 17 pieces of legislation that has been introduced that would undermine the ESA and other protections for imperiled wildlife. Joseph also mentioned the cuts to the Department of the Interior, whose agencies, the Fish and Wildlife Service and the National Marine Fisheries Service, administer the ESA, removing funding, removing capacity, basically removing the ability of these agencies to carry out species recovery under the ESA. It's just a very troubling time, and Defenders of Wildlife is very much opposed to this bill.
Joseph, remind people, as I understand it, the ESA, the Endangered Species Act, is a wildly popular law, isn't it, amongst both liberals and conservatives?
It is, yeah. I mean, we see, poll after poll, there's a huge bipartisan support. I think the last poll was 95% of the electorate supports the Endangered Species Act. And, you start digging in, I mean, there's even, broad support for, biodiversity, people recognize the importance of biodiversity, of, the variety of plants and animals that make up ecosystems, that those are all important to people, even for their everyday lives. And, I think people recognize that, we need this kind of biodiversity to maintain life on Earth. So yes, you're right. It is wildly popular. And, I think there are probably just some interests, certainly that would like to fast track certain activities that see that, some of these plants and animals are getting in the way of that are pushing some of these ideas to weaken protection for threatened and endangered species.
Yeah. Colin, maybe if you could talk to our audience about what are some of your biggest concerns for Northwest species? What are some of the animals and plants that you're fearful if these pushes to denude the power of the ESA go forth? What are some of those species that you have grave concerns about?
Well, Michael, we have concerns much in the Northwest, thinking about humpback whale protections off the coast. These species transit Oregon waters, and that's just one concern we have is how reductions of protections could affect whales. Southern resident killer whales that transit the coast as well. We have concerns about how weakening protections will affect that species. Any number of birds within Oregon, any number of amphibians and reptiles. Joseph mentioned the Oregon spotted frog, a listed species. And then finally, any number of fish that transit our waterways, from steelhead to sockeye salmon, to coho salmon, people come from all over the country and the world, as Joseph mentioned, to recreate in Oregon, to fish, to see these species. And it's troubling that these protections may weaken the protections and the recovery of these species that people come to Oregon to see and to experience. And that's something we're very concerned about.
Yeah. Joseph, what can people do? I'm sure that many of our listeners are thinking, give us some guidance here as to what, regular citizens can do to help this protective effort.
Oh, thank you for asking that, Michael. I'm always looking for what to do. And I love this quote that action is the antidote to despair. So taking action always makes me feel a little better. One thing I would note is that on the proposed rule that would redefine harm as not including destruction of habitat, there is an open comment period right now. I'm sure if you use your Google you can find your way to that, or certainly you can go on to Defenders Wildlife website at defenders.org and find a way to engage. So, but that comment period is open until May 19th. So I would definitely speak up and make your voice heard there. I would also encourage folks to write their congressional representatives. You know, I think right now they're very narrow margins there in Congress, and just speaking up and letting their congressional representatives know how they feel about the importance of the Endangered Species Act and that it needs to be protected, and that this is something that is, you know, important for them in their daily lives, and as well for future generations, to make sure that we don't, in this moment, gut the Endangered Species Act. So those are two things that I would recommend. You know, actually make your voice heard in comment periods, but also, you know, directly go to your elected officials and let them know how you feel.
Good enough. Good enough. Colin Reynolds and Joseph Vail, they are both members of the Northwest Program of the national organization Defenders of Wildlife. Gentlemen, really appreciate you coming on and talking about this threat to our endangered species and our environment in general.
Thank you so much, Michael.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Tomorrow on the show, we'll check in with the good doctor, Dr. Patrick Ludke of Lane County Public Health, about a concerning uptick in a strain of bacteria that is rearing its ugly head here in our community. I'm Michael Dunn, and this has been Oregon on the Record from KLCC. Thanks for listening.